Good morning. Welcome to worship. A special welcome to those of you joining us from home. As we are one body of Christ continuing on our Lenten pilgrimage together, I invite all who are able to stand to turn toward the font to prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts, minds, and ears to hear the Word of God.
First readings from Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and I prophesied. Suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came up into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is from Romans, the 8th chapter. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the spirit, since the spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through his spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. The Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was.
Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going to go there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him."
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world."
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When Jesus had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer? Create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew a right spirit within each of us. Then breathe new life into us and into your church, so that we might live as your resurrected people in a world all too often dead to the life you intend for us. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On this, the fifth Sunday in the year of our Lord 2023, we're nearing the end of our Lenten journey. Along the way, we've heard how Jesus was driven into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. We heard the story of Nicodemus and how he was completely baffled when Jesus told him he must be born again, or born from above. We heard the story of the woman who encountered Jesus at the well, and she was left to wonder whether Jesus was the Messiah, because he told her everything she had ever done. We heard how Jesus healed a man born blind and the community's response. And now today we have heard how Ezekiel prophesied that the Lord commanded, saying, "O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. You shall know that I am the Lord." And in his letter to the Christians in Rome, we heard the written words of the Apostle Paul. "Since the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you." And finally, we have heard Jesus declare, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. Those are powerful words. Words of comfort, words of hope, words of promise. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. Those too are powerful words, words of hope, comfort, and promise. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Only Jesus said this after Lazarus had died. He said this before he had arrived at the tomb. And Jesus already knew Lazarus was dead. To hammer home the point, the gospel writer provides an interesting little detail, not once but twice, telling us that by the time Jesus came to the tomb where the body of Lazarus was laid, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. That means there wasn't time for first responders to resurrect him or to resuscitate him. CPR wasn't going to bring Lazarus back to life. No heroic human act could save him. In other words, Lazarus wasn't just dead. He was really dead. If radio and TV personality Paul Harvey were here with us today, I think he'd say, "And now you know the rest of the story." We already know the rest of this story. Or at least it's safe to assume we've heard the rest of the story. Lazarus had died. And it was as a sign of God's glory that Jesus raised him from the dead. But if we read between the lines, the death of Lazarus is also a foreshadowing of Jesus' own death. Death on a cross. If we follow the gospel narrative, we know that from the beginning of the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, that the signs that Jesus did along the way all point to the cross and the glory of God. Jesus knows he must die. It is necessary. We know that Jesus will die. What the disciples and Martha and Mary and their friends that had come to be with them didn't know is that after 3 days, Jesus will be raised from the dead. And in his raising, Jesus will have conquered our final enemy, death, once for all. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Brother Martin Luther might very well ask, what does this mean? We know full well that even though we believe, there will come a day when we will most certainly die, our physical bodies. But here's the rest of the story. Even though we die, we live. Earlier in the gospel, according to John, Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Abundant life. Audacious life. Eternal life. Eternal, by its very definition, means it has no beginning and no ending. The promised gift of eternal life means that we will truly never die. Because all who share in Christ's death also share in Christ's resurrection. And so we need not fear the physical dying of our bodies, for we have been grafted onto the body of the living Christ. Our faith teaches us that because Jesus lives, we too shall live. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Die to sin, yes. Die to those things that separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, absolutely. But just as Lazarus was not dead, just as he was brought back to life to show God's glory, we who are alive in Christ are truly alive. Our faith teaches that the breath of God breathes new life into our dry and weary bodies so that these bones might live. Our faith teaches that God brings to life what the world all too often presumes is dead. Our faith teaches that God's Spirit, the very breath of God, dwells in us. Our faith teaches that the promised gift of eternal life has already begun and does not end. And now we that know the rest of the story, we can live, truly live, even in the midst of our Lenten journey. We can live as Easter people, resurrected people, people who are alive in Christ and Christ in us. Signs of God's glory, to be sure. Amen.
With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. Enlivening God, you have breathed into us the breath of life. Enliven your church. Deepen our partnerships with our companion churches around the globe, and bless the work of missionaries who accompany them. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Your Spirit brings life to creation. Enliven the natural world and restore ecosystems in need of healing. Uplift prophetic voices that turn us to the needs of the soil beneath our feet and the air all around. Merciful God, hear our prayer. You redeem the world and its peoples. Free us from systems of oppression. Raise up leaders at all levels of government who work to promote the dignity of every human life. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Your Spirit of life dwells in our assembly. Bless the music ministries of this congregation and all who lead us in hymns of praise and thanksgiving and in songs of lament and prayer. Merciful God, hear our prayer. You weep when we weep. Be present with those who grieve or who are troubled by illness. We especially remember today Bonnie Betts, Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Gail Hadelberg, Lori Lund, Marnie Reinmuth, and Jeff and Gretchen Seamus, as well as all those we hold in our hearts and those known only to you. You hear us when we call to you. Deliver us from the depths of our despair and free us from the worries that bind us. Merciful God, hear our prayer. You are the resurrection and the life. Even though we die, we will live. With thanksgiving, we remember all your saints who now live in your eternal love and ask for comfort as we grieve. We pray especially for all those who loved Juanita Bond, Carol Welch's sister, who died 2 weeks ago. Merciful God, hear our prayer. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share that peace with one another. A few brief notes about our life together this week. First, that we have, once again, our Tuesday evening program, soup supper at 5:15, classes at 6, and then Holden evening prayer at 7, continuing in our series of faith stories of our community. So, please join us either for some or all of that on Tuesday night. Second is directly after the service, adults meet in the library, children in the godly playroom. And then I'd like to note in your bulletin at the end Most notably, that the church council is calling a special congregational meeting on April 16th between services to inform the congregation of several important property and maintenance issues, and details about that are, it says here, will be included in the central light, but also a letter has been mailed to you that you may or may not have received. It went out Thursday, so you might have gotten it yesterday. If not, you'll get it tomorrow, the next day. And also on our weekly email that gets sent out on Sunday afternoons, the link will be to read that same letter online there as well, that talks more about this congregational, special congregational meeting and the property maintenance issues and costs related with them. That'll be the primary topic. So please watch for that letter. You can see it in the weekly. And if midweek you haven't found it either way, let us know, and we'll get it to you. So, and then to note there, you see our Holy Week schedule coming up, of different services that are available there. And also a note, we've had these Lenten daily devotions that have been coming out, have been a wonderful, uplifting moment of our life together, showing the deep reflection and meaning that people hold in their own faiths in their life, written all by members of Central, members and friends of Central. And so if you haven't been able to find those, let me know, and I'll help you find where you can see those. With those announcements, let us continue with our offertory.
Oh,
I invite all who are able to stand. Let us pray. God of good gifts, receive these and all our offerings as we present them in faithful service for the sake of your gospel. Prepare our hearts to receive you in this meal as you pour out your very presence through Christ Jesus, the wellspring of eternal life. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through Christ our Lord. You bid your people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast. Renew our zeal in faith and life and bring us to the fullness of grace that belongs to the children of God. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Almighty and merciful God. You are most holy and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and accomplish all things for our salvation. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks and gave it for all to eat, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, may be formed to live as your holy people and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
For distribution this morning, I'll invite you to come forward through the center aisle and come up to the communion rail and either stand or kneel and receive the bread in the form of a wafer and then the wine in cups. The wine has red wine or white grape juice. If you're uncomfortable managing the steps, please feel free to come to the front pew and the servers will come to you. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come. Come, all has been prepared.
Thank you.
And now, may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Invite all who are able to stand to receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Let us go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.